Welcome to Moms Going Boldly, a Star Trek podcast.
Priority one message from Starfleet coming in on secured channel.
Moms Going Boldly is two moms who love Star Trek and who happen to have children on the autism spectrum. Join me, Elizabeth, and my co-host Vicky as each week we talk about Star Trek episodes, both new and old. Are you ready for the adventure? Come join us on Moms Going Boldly. Welcome back to Moms Going Boldly. Today we're talking about Star Trek Discovery, Season 5, Episode 4, Face the Strange. Did you like this episode?
I liked it well enough, but it did kind of feel like a filler episode or a clip show without being a clip show.
Yeah.
You know, and it did advance Burnham and Rayner's relationship. Burnham learned that the information Rayner received from his 20-word interviews proved helpful. And Rayner, who to me seemed like he looked down on the Discovery crew because they hadn't been through the burn and didn't know what it was like. But I think he learned that Discovery lived through its own set of circumstances that he probably didn't really understand until he hit each timeline and it was explained to him. But I was disappointed because at one point I thought we were going to see Ash, but it turned out to be Irium.
Yeah, that would have been cool, wouldn't it?
Because we just talked about him last week, so I thought for sure we were going to see him. But, you know, in the end, Discovery was in the same place it was at the beginning. Nothing was accomplished, really, except that Rayner and Burnham have a mutual respect for each other now, and possibly Stamets and Rayner as well.
So let me go ahead and read the very quick synopsis of this episode from the Memory Alpha fandom wiki. On the way to the next clue, the U.S. Discovery is sabotaged by a mysterious weapon, leaving Captain Burnham, Rayner, and Stamets as the only crew members who can possibly save the ship in time. Now, I was interested in what you thought about the title of this episode, Face the Strange.
I don't know. To me, it didn't make a lot of sense, and maybe I'm missing something.
You know, what it reminded me of is the David Bowie song. Turn and face the strange changes. That was it. So I was thinking, okay, maybe that's what this is about.
Yeah, I knew that was a familiar phrase, but I couldn't remember where I heard it.
And I agree 100%. I think this was a character development episode.
Yeah.
And the thing that I had difficulty that I had with it, because you're right, it did feel a little bit like filler. I would have liked to have seen one more episode of Rayner and Burnham butting heads over command style. Just a little bit more, and then had this episode. I think that then the respect that developed between them would have felt a little bit more earned.
Yeah, so I have to imagine something big is going to happen next week. Like, I think I said this before, this is kind of like a palate cleanser moving into the next horrific things that are going to happen.
Yeah. So what did you think about the time travel element? Time travel's tricky sometimes. How do you think they handled it?
I don't know. Every show handles it differently, and I try not to obsess on it too much. So I guess they handled it as well as they could handle it.
I kind of thought it was real clever to have this sort of temporal bug. And I loved how they actually pulled in sort of the temporal knowledge of the Krenim, which was a race we encountered in Voyager. I thought that was kind of clever.
Yeah, but when you asked me, I thought you meant how the crew itself handled it.
Oh.
You know, there wasn't much they could do but not try to change things. They handled it as well as they could handle it.
How about as a part of the story or as the catalyst for the story, how do you think that the story writers handled it?
Yeah, they handled it well. Like I said, it felt like a filler episode, so I can't say I was totally impressed with how they handled it because we really didn't get a lot of them interacting with other people.
Yeah.
You know, so there wasn't a lot of fear that they were going to do something to change the timeline. But then they did. They interacted with the whole bridge crew. So it was kind of confusing for me. First, they had to stay away from everybody, and then they're on the bridge. I mean, I understand that was the last resort, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I try not to think about it too much.
I hear you. Well, I will say the only thing that actually kind of bothered me a little bit about the story was when past Burnham and Reese came to engineering and held Rayner and Stamets at gunpoint. Why didn't Irium, who was in command of the ship, order them
to stand
to lower
down.
Their, I didn't understand that. If Arium is going to go for it and they know what's happening because Burnham's got the communicator there, why didn't Arium say, there are circumstances beyond your knowledge, you have to stand down?
Yes.
Except that without that order, we wouldn't have gotten the character development with Rainer and Stamets and Reese and past Burnham.
Right. You know what? They could have added that in before the bridge crew found out that there was a problem.
Yes. That would have been good. Yeah.
We could have done that before. And then when the bridge crew called down and Rainer says, we have a problem, he's already done that. And maybe he's gotten Reese on his side, but there's still Burnham. And I was thinking the same thing. And then I'm like, well, maybe I'm missing something. I didn't know what I was missing.
You didn't miss anything. I was sitting there thinking, well, why doesn't Arium just order them? I mean, she's in command.
Exactly.
So anyway.
We're going to pause right here for a quick break. We'll be right back.
Hey, Doug Gramley here from Yeah, That Can't Be Good.
Doug here from the 13th Warehouse. If you are a fan of Eureka,
please join Kim, Vicky, Skip, and myself over at Yeah, That Can't Be Good for an episode-by-episode podcast of all things Eureka at EurekaRewatch.com. If you're a fan of Warehouse 13,
please join Kim and Vicky over at the 13th Warehouse at the 13thWarehouse.com. You can also listen
on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Visit us on Twitter at Eureka Warehouse.
Attention Warehouse fans. Kim and Vicky continue on with the Warehouse theme on the 13th Warehouse with Friday the 13th, the 1988 television series. Follow Mickey, Ryan, and Jack as they hunt for cursed antiques sold by Uncle Lewis to unsuspecting and sometimes suspecting patrons of his antique shop. So stick with us on the 13th Warehouse for Friday the 13th, the series. You can listen to the 13th Warehouse on our website, the13thwarehouse.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back.
So what was your favorite part of this episode?
My favorite parts were the funnier parts where, you know, they just yelled at the person who was walking in engineering to get out. Those random things. Other than that, I really couldn't pick a favorite part.
I agree. My favorite part was, you know, Stamets saying there's been a spore breach. Evacuate or your mushrooms will grow in your lungs. I thought that was hilarious.
Right. And then later when he said, I'm kind of disappointed in my crew that they don't know that that's not a thing.
I thought that was fun. One of the things that I was surprised at was the brutality of Locke and Maul when at the very beginning we get sort of the background of how they got the time bug from a weapons dealer, I guess.
Yes.
And then they murdered him. I thought that was kind of disturbing how brutal they were.
It was, but as they said, they had already been warned that he would probably try to change the terms of the deal or not give them what they paid for or whatever. So, yeah, it was brutal, but it wasn't random.
Yeah, still, wow.
Yeah.
That was very surprising to me. But I think it also sets the stage for that they don't care who gets hurt.
Right,
so.
Exactly.
Any other thoughts about this episode? We kind of, you know, it was a fine episode. I agree with you. It wasn't as good as some of the previous episodes, but it wasn't unpleasant to watch. It was just a random episode.
Yeah, I liked Tilly. Tilly was funny. Stamets seemed to be the Stamets we used to like, you know, not obsessing about his legacy or being awkward.
It was nice to see Reno.
Yes.
She is such a grounded character. She stays who she is when we see her. You know, the personality is well-developed and consistent, and I really like that. They haven't written her differently, and I really enjoy that.
Right, and I'm hoping that she's going to get an episode of her own.
That would be cool.
Yeah. But otherwise, there's nothing that stood out to me. I mean, we got to see the discovery from the short trek, except it seemed to be after, I keep calling him Hodge because that's his real name, after he left. So I was kind of almost hoping to see him too. You know,
that would have been cool.
It would have been, yeah. But then they said nobody's been here in years. So I was like, all right, this was after he left.
So, well, maybe it was before Hodge. Maybe he was somebody who had survived.
It could have been, but Zora seemed to be losing her memory, and I don't believe that was the case when Hodge, that's not his name in the show, so people who are yelling
right,
at me,
I know.
They're calling him Hodge, it's not his name, but when he was there, she was still waiting for the crew to come back, if you remember.
Yeah.
In this timeline, she seems to know they're all dead, and nobody's been there, so I'm assuming it's after he's left the ship.
And I was actually really pleased that they sort of circled back to that.
Yeah.
Because that was very interesting short all those years ago when they first released those.
Right.
And then never circled back. So we did get a circle back. So I thought that was kind of nice that they remembered that and didn't just let it disappear.
Right. Right. But otherwise, like I said, the end of this episode, they were right back where they started. They didn't accomplish anything on their search for clues or anything. So it was just, like you said, character building, relationship building.
Well, then we're going to have to see if the next episode is really intense per your, as a, it's a historically correct theory, because your theory is, has held true historically. So the next episode, which is called Mirrors, we predict will be intense. Oh,
and I hope it's not Mirror Universe. You don't think that we're going to go back to the Mirror Universe? It's going,
right? I don't know. Oh, I hope so. I hope you're wrong. Yeah, no Mirror Universe, just some other use of mirrors.
I hope so.
We're going to ask the Star Trek gods. All right, then we invite our listeners to join us next time as we talk about Star Trek Discovery Season 5, Episode 5, is that right? Or is it Episode 6?
No, I think it's 5.
No, it's Episode 5, entitled Mirrors, with our fingers crossed that it's not about the Mirror Universe.
Okay. We'll see you next week.
All right, we'll talk to you then.
Bye.
Okay.
You can continue exploring the universe with Moms Going Boldly by following us on Facebook at facebook.com/momsgoingboldly and on Twitter at momsgoingboldly. The music used on Moms Going Boldly is Without Limits by Ross Bugden Music. On Twitter at Ross Bugden, licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution License, creativecommons.org.
You can listen to Moms Going Boldly on Podbean, Spotify, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, and Player FM. And we're now also available on Apple Podcasts.
Transfer complete.